Jimmy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, here we go. We are live, folks. It's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I'm glad to be here. I'm your host, Mark Hoffman. It's been a while. We had COVID-19 here at the house. My wife got sick. She caught the COVID. She caught the Rona. You know? Hey, we always said, we walked around going, hey, we catch the Rona? We catch the Rona. She caught the Rona? She caught the Rona. We took care of her. She went to the hospital. We got her back. She's back on the mend. She is back 100% back in action. Hallelujah. Thanks for all the prayers and everything from everybody. We've got lots of prayers and a lot of things from the folks. And it really means a lot to us here at the page, at my house, how much everybody came together, prayed, food came to our house. We had some soup and some cool dips and chips and things, and it was amazing how the people came to our rescue, so to speak. You know, we had people, you know, deliver the food. We put a little table outside. Here's the money. Here's the tip. Here's the leave it on the table, and I'll come out after you leave and get my chow. This is what it was. Oh, man, JB's calling me in right now. Jeez, I can't. I'm on the show. JB, I can't. JB, I'm sorry. I'm live on the show. I'm going to share this to you right now. You'll see why I can't call you. It's live on the air. You can see. I'll try to share the show to you. Ladies and gentlemen, check this out. We're going live. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. What the hell? Hey, we're going live. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right. We got it coming up next. We're going to be talking to our friend, the local patriot, hardest working patriot I see anywhere. Jonathan Richards coming up next. Right after these.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer is passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that, and that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and you know, he's given his all, and you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform, they are very human, just like you and I. They can pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's D-A-V-E-B-R-A-Y, USA.
Check it out, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission. Storytell this and that night. He's got new music coming out. He's a great patriot, amazing American rock and roll patriot for you, for everybody. Check it out. He's got some cool merchandise, and he's got all kinds of music, new music, old music. You may remember him from the band Madison Rising. He is now a solo artist and doing great things. Our great governor here in the Sunshine State of Florida today, for those of you, I am alcohol-free for 29 years, so this one really ain't for me, but I'm happy for my friends who like to have an alcoholic beverage at the end of a long day, or who like to go out on a Friday night and shake it down, dance all night, and have 20 cocktails. I don't give a crap. But if you want to get yourself two Grateful Deads delivered with your Applebee's burger, there's a shameless plug for Applebee's and the Grateful Deads. They'll deliver them to your house, and it's permanent now. You can do it forever. You can have alcoholic beverages delivered to your house, permanent here in Florida. Hallelujah. Our government is great. I got to turn my light on. Hold on a second. Here in the darkness. We're here in the darkness, and we need the light. We need some light. Let there be light. Oh, there we are. Now we can see us. All right, we're having fun. This is great. It's been a couple of weeks. As you know, my wife caught the coronavirus, and we've been off the air for about 3 or 4 weeks. It's been horrifying because I love to be on the air as much as possible. And, again, check out LibertyRush.com, social media without the lib-cutted rhetoric, DaveBrayUSA.com. This is Patriot Nation Radio Network. Our friend James Bostic has a conservative perspective 2 nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Gary Binford and United Patriots Uprising every other Monday here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Head on over to our pages and find us on Facebook all over the place. Just type in Patriot Nation Radio. You're bound to find me. I've been on this for 8 years, 9 years now, talking and talking, talking, trying to bring the truth to you, to everybody. Real truth, what's really going on, what is really shaking, what the news media refuses to tell you, what the news media refuses to show you, great American people, their own time, take their own money and their own resources, travel 1,000 miles or more to go and find out for themselves and come back home and tell everybody. So on the line today is one of our local guys, great patriot, amazing, gets in the face of Pete Buttigieg. Good stuff. You know, gets in their face with the, excuse my French, fuck Biden shirt on. Beep. I censored myself. Good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. American patriot. Hardest working patriot. Almost, at least as hard worker as George Colella. Jonathan Riches. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Good evening, sir. How are you? Wonderful introduction. I love it. And I greatly appreciate that.
I was going to say, is that a good enough introduction? Maybe, did I miss anything?
No, spot on. And I'm not being a narcissist. Spot on. Love it. Well, thanks for having me on.
This gentleman is in school board meetings all across in all the counties. He is at the county commissioner meetings. He is at the city council meetings. He is at every rally, every big deal what's going on to save and keep our republic in check the way it was meant by our freaking founders 249 some plus years ago. And we need people like this in our country to stand up and freaking fight. Just go to his pages, and if you do 1/50th of what this guy does, you will be making a huge impact.
Though I'm on Facebook ban again for my conduct, you know, for speaking the truth, censored,
you know,
again for 30 days.
Truth is hate speech to those who hate speech.
Yeah, well, you know, I on Facebook, you know, recently we were doing a mask burning rally in Pinellas County down on the Tom Stewart Causeway, and it had a great showing. There was about 300 patriots there, you know, and they're tired of the masks, and you know, we were speaking about out against masks, burning the masks in the big, you know, bonfire, whatnot. But I was wearing a shirt that said COVID-19 is a scam. And I posted that on Facebook, and Facebook gave me a 30-day ban claiming that that's spreading disinformation about COVID, which could cause death upon other people. So they basically said it's damaging and inflammatory material. And they gave me a 30-day ban just for having a shirt that said COVID-19 is a scam. Imagine that, right?
You know, there's a doctor. He recently did a study on 50, and they said this is bull crap and this didn't happen and it's all fake. You know how it is. When the truth comes out, they come out. He did a study, 1,500 samples. He has a PhD. He's been in virology, whatever the hell you say it, for decades. This guy has studied viruses for his whole career. He's treated viruses. This is what he does. He studied 1,500 samples of COVID positive, apparently, and could not find one positive COVID-19 diagnosis in the 1,500 samples that were diagnosed as COVID-19. He sent it to seven universities, and all seven universities found the same thing. And they're saying his research is bogus and fake.
Why? Yeah, and regardless of whoever's views are on COVID, whether it's fake or not, that's my opinion. And I have the right to freely express myself. And that's the problem we're facing nowadays, you know, online censorship for your beliefs and your opinions.
If I want to say
COVID-19
babies.
Is a scam, I should be able to, promote that. That's my choice, my beliefs. And that's what makes the First Amendment great. And that's the challenges that we're facing, man.
If you believe in slaughtering babies and burning down cities is not insurrection and destroying private property is not a crime, you know, then there you are.
Exactly. That's and for instance, you know, today the federal government arrested an 80-year-old man for going into the Capitol. An 80-year-old man. You know, they're tracking down, they're spending so much resources tracking down anyone and everyone that went into the Capitol, but they don't do it for the other side, you know. All through the summer, burning, looting, murder in all these U.S. cities, you know, damaging, whatnot. Nah, the FBI doesn't put any of them on the wanted list, you know, doesn't, you know, expend the resources trying to find who is responsible for all that. But, yeah, you know, a few patriots go into a Capitol and they're suddenly plastered all over America's most wanted, FBI's most wanted, and they're tracking them down.
You want to hear my take? All right, this is what I've been telling everybody, and I know you were probably down there in D.C. reporting because you're a great guy and you're out there.
Yeah, I was there.
I was there. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the videos. And before anything got broken into, everybody was standing outside. Stop the steal. Stop the steal. USA. Mm-hmm. USA. And they're chanting. And then they cut to the people inside, the senators and the Congress people, and they're cowering in the corner, and they're scared to death. Oh, my God. Yeah. You could hear the people outside chanting. And I'm like, oh, my God, look, that's fucking liberty. Excuse my language. Right there. The government fears the people. Holy moly. Then they broke in. Dang it. But anyway, for that one second, it was my Tea Party moment. It was my, oh, my God, is liberty. The government is fearing the people. This is what is liberty. This is the way it should be. They should be scared of us always that they're doing wrong and we are watching. They should always feel that.
Yeah, and, you know, me being at the Capitol, you know, I was there actually after the election. There was actually three rallies. The original first rally was in, like, mid-November, right after the election. It was called the Stop the Steal. It was actually the Million MAGA March, called the Million MAGA March. And I'll tell you, you know, based on prior experience, you know, for the last 4 years going to Trump rallies, the MAGA rallies all across the country, I've never seen so many patriots in one location at once. Literally, you could arguably say there was a million people there because from, you know, downtown by Freedom Plaza, by the White House, all the way up to the U.S. Capitol along Pennsylvania Avenue was head to toe with people. You couldn't see a red, white, and blue. You couldn't even see the street. It was filled to capacity. That whole D.C. was just saturated. I've never seen anything like that. You know, and it was a great feeling, a great experience and everything like that. They had a second rally. I guess this would be more like the Stop the Steal, I guess, on December 12th. They had a second one. Now, the second one, it didn't get nearly as much as the first one. You know, there was still – at that time, it was cold also. You know, it was getting colder, it was darker earlier. But there was still, I would say, 100,000. And then we had, you know, the January 6th, which was, I would say, in, you know, 50 to 100,000 there. I mean, but it was just – those three times were just a great time to show your patriotism and, you know, standing up to these tyrants on the other side, you know, stealing the election. And it was just – I've never, it was just, I felt like it was obligatory to be there, you know, and I am a journalist. I work for Original Media Group, which is called Your Content. And, but I consider myself like a gonzo journalist. So a gonzo journalist, you know, Hunter S. Thompson. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, you know, I'm not objective. I clearly show my love and support for this country and President Trump. So, you know, I show my bias there, but, you know, I cover it and I kind of be part of, you know, I'm part of the news story as I'm covering it. So, you know, I'm interviewing people, you know, I'm showing my face on camera and just, you know, walking with patriots and getting everyone's point of view, you know, all Americans from all walks of life. It was just, it was great. And the Capitol the Capitol was just like, you know, outside the Capitol, you know, I stayed outside. I didn't go in. But right. I was all around the Capitol. And,
contrary to what some people will say or try to portray, you never went.
Well, yeah, you know, I got visits twice from the FBI. You know, they contacted me because of anonymous people that, I trigger Antifa and the leftists all the time on social media over the years. You know, I expose them, I, you know, put them out there, and they don't like me. And, you know, they put profiles and they dox me and harass me. But, a lot of them made anonymous calls just saying certain masked people were me inside the Capitol. So it's so bizarre that our federal agency, you know, goes off just anonymous tips and comes and tries to contact me, you know, twice,
right.
you know, about anonymous right. tips saying that I was in there, you know, with no corroborating
right.
evidence, no surveillance, no body cam of any officers, no interior
yeah.
surveillance showing me inside the Capitol, just off anonymous tips.
And I know you, if you were in there, you would not be hiding. You don't hide. That's one thing I like about you. You are out there and everybody knows who you are. And that's bravery.
Exactly.
That's
you know,
courage.
And I actually knew at the time that, probably it wasn't wise to go in because, you know, offhand, you know, I was getting alerts saying that the Capitol was breached. And when it was breached, I was a half mile away originally because President Trump was giving a speech in front of the White House all across the National Park lawn where the monument is, the Washington Monument
yeah.
there, it's the big needle that stands up. So I was on the lawn there and I was observing, you know, Trump's speech and stuff like that. And the internet was very sporadic because, you know, when large amount of people are together, your internet gets less. But I was starting to get alerts that the, you know, Capitol was breached. It was also cold that day. It was like, in the mid-30s. It was, you know, the sun wasn't even out. It was windy. So my hands were cold because I was out there all the way starting out early in the morning because people were lining up at 3 a.m. to see Trump. So I went back to my hotel, and warmed up, got some coffee, changed gloves, and then I went to the Capitol. And by the time I got to the Capitol, it was like, you know, it first got supposedly breached around 1 p.m., you know, Trump's closing of the speech. It started before he actually closed his speech. I got to the Capitol. When I got there, there was already, I would say, 30,000 people surrounded that Capitol.
Right.
And I couldn't really even see up on because they had it just so many people. You couldn't really see what was going on right at the Capitol entrances or whatnot. I know police were trying to block it off and just – it was just – but I was just hearing, you know, 1776, USA, USA, you know, patriotic chants and stuff like that. You know,
yeah.
I didn't hear really people say, hey, bust into the Capitol, break it down or burn it down or anything like that. You know, and I seen mothers and daughters and children out there and old people, you know, old and young, you know, and you know, it was like about 4:30 and then, you know, it started becoming over the networks. Hey, Mayor Browser, has a state of emergency. She's issuing a curfew for 6 p.m. And then 4:45, I started leaving. I started walking back to my hotel down the street. And this is when like all agencies from all across the area, from Virginia State Police to Maryland State Police to the National Guard started rushing to the Capitol in these convoys, you know, these convoys that were coming down the street in like 30 or 40 a pop. And, you know, I walked back to my hotel and then I just, you know, kind of observed what really happened. And, I guess some people, you know, obviously when there's a large crowd, you know, there's some bad apples and, you know, some people went in. And I think most of the people that went in were told to go in, like, or they were thought they could go in, you know,
because
there was different points of entry. And
we'd be foolish to think that actual Trump supporters got caught up in the moment and went inside. It happened, folks, because you know what?
It happened. You know, you just follow the herd.
Speech, Everybody's on fire. You got caught up in the moment. These Antifa plants and these people that broke in that actually did this and got Ashley Babbitt killed, executed.
Yeah.
It's on their hands because we know, like, I've been to, like, you were, I have not been anywhere near as many rallies as you, Jonathan.
We're trying to, by the way, not to cut you off, but we're still trying to identify the officer, you know, the officer that shot Ashley Babbitt. They still have not publicly named this officer. They're, you know, even though they ruled her death a homicide, you know, he can't even be identified.
Well, you know who they want to pin it on, of course. Somehow, some way, they're probably looking for a way to pin it on the guy who's the greatest president of our time. Because they want to pin everything on him because they cannot have him reelected. Folks, I truly believe that after the 22 midterms, our great president, who for me is still my president, I would go to bat for him second, is going to make the announcement that he's going to run. Just I'm so curious as who his running mate will be. I saw he did an interview with Candace Owens, and she was like, "Oh, it's Trump Owens," you know.
I think Candace Owens. I participated. She had a Back the Blue rally in Washington D.C. right before the election. It was in October, I believe, October. And I participated in, and I was up close, you know, listening to her speak. I just don't feel like she's presidential or vice presidential. You know, she has a big following. I just don't think she's fit for that position. You know, everyone always says, hey, Candace Owens, I just don't see it with her.
And everybody's trying to rally our great governor. I don't know. I think it would be great if he was vice president because I think he would parlay that into 8 years as president. But I hate to see him leave our state. Unless like Anthony Sabatini was a governor or something.
So I'm falling in love with DeSantis. I as a patriot, you can't ask for any better governor. Seriously, like every policy that he's been doing, he has guts. He doesn't care what the media thinks. He's gaining more and more trust and experience. He's a genuine guy. I've met him numerous times. And he's always been nice to me, you know, and he's always listened and talked. And, you know, you get pictures and he specifically says, did you get the picture? You okay? You know, like he like I saw him last week when he signed the actual the executive orders, banning mask mandates in all government buildings. He signed that bill down in St. Pete. So I went down there and, you know, so DeSantis was down in St. Pete and, he signed the bill and then, you know, at the venue, you know, his security's pretty tight and he was about 40 feet away. And I just yelled to DeSantis, he's walking towards his car and his entourage. I say, hey, Governor DeSantis, love you. And he stopped in his tracks and he looked at me and I said, sir, can I get a selfie with you, a picture? And he said, sure, come on over. And that's the type of guy he is, man. He's a likable guy. He's great. He sticks up for law enforcement. You see all these wonderful executive orders and policies that he's
doing. My wife seen his naked picture, and she was like, wow, look at him.
You know, so it would be bad to lose him as a governor, you know. And
it would be horrible.
Honestly, my gut feeling is he probably will stay as governor and let Trump go another run. I really do, and I think Trump will pick another running mate, whether it's an African American like Tim Scott or Kristi Noem from South Dakota. You know, she seems like she's been taking a lot of visits at Mar-a-Lago lately.
After further research, I like Tim Scott. I think he would be fantastic.
Well, he was used as the counter voice to Biden's so-called State of the Union address a few weeks ago. You know, we want to call it State of the Union. He didn't even have one. Whatever his dress was to the nation or whatnot, you know, Scott was, he could secure the African American vote, you know, but until these states, you know, reel in these election fraud and reel in their process on how they can fix any possible election fraud in each state, because it's each state's responsibility. Again, I won't trust it. I can't trust it until these 16 elections.
So really,
this
has been really cool. But the real mission of this show is because I have an angel mom on the line. She's waiting to come on the line. But I want to talk about, and I'm sorry, Chris, that the guy is a great patriot, and I've been dying to get him on my show. So, and I'm very excited to have him on the show, and I'm very excited to have you on the show for the first time too. So please be patient there and hold, and we'll be with you shortly. I got breaking news from my friend Terry up in Tennessee. Breaking news. CNN is reporting Kamala Harris has just announced that it no longer burns when she goes to the bathroom. Well, they got a cure for that too. I'm sorry, folks. We like comedy. I'm a very comedic person. I like to be silly. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We crashed her rally. Did you know she had it? She actually came before the election. She came to Orlando, Florida for like a car rally. And it was funny because there was more Trump supporters outside her rally than Biden supporters inside her rally, which was so funny. And when she came to her rally and she saw all the, you know, Trump flags, that, you know, when her motorcade came through, she knew she was embarrassed.
That's awesome. So you went down to the border in Texas.
And
I had a friend, Rusty, down there. He passed away. He actually had his ranch was on the river. And Jonathan, mm-hmm. he calls me up at my house one day. This is no joke. And this is real, folks. Whoever's listening out there in radio land, this is the real deal. This happened. He calls me up. It's like 10 o'clock at night or something, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Mark, I can't believe it. I'm here on my side of the river. The cartel has a car on the other side of the river. It's 100 yards from me, the length of a football field, and I'm watching these guys. They just set the car on fire with a family of four inside and are blasting it with machine guns. And I can't do nothing. He's crying at me.
It is.
Probably didn't want to follow the cartel's rules. They didn't want to follow what they were trying to do or what they were trying to get. So they pay the price. They were sending a message.
So one of the things I've heard, the reason why cartels I was at the border too, three times since Biden's been president. A lot of times these coyotes, you know, people pay these runners to, you know, send them to the border, or whatnot. But sometimes it's like, I'm going to pay you. But then they end up not paying. And that's, it costs them their lives. You know, the cartels do not play. And if you don't pay them, they will kill you. And, you know, the people I was with, I didn't personally see it, but there's been bodies, you know, bodies along the Rio Grande River in Texas, particularly
really
between Brownsville and McAllen, Texas. Lots of bodies.
Really scary. Folks, we are talking with patriot and activist Jonathan Richards on the Patriot Nation radio show live.
You are listening to Patriot Nation radio live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, folks. And as you heard, he's been down to the border three times, and we're going to hear what he seen with his own eyes. All right, go ahead. Sorry, I had to do that bottom of the hour, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, so, I've been down to the border three times since Biden's been president. First, I went to Nogales, Arizona, which is southern Arizona. It's a border town there. You know, it's split.
Yeah.
There is a wall there. And second time, I went to a rally against Joe Biden's border crisis in Laredo, Texas. And this is when we've had lots of patriots like Colonel Allen West, head of the Republican Party of Texas, and a lot of like patriot activists, you know, Latinos for Trump, Ben Berquin, Will Johnson, and other speakers there to speak. You are right on the river there, the Rio Grande and Laredo, no wall, no border, you know, anyone can just come across. And then the third time I actually went, I flew out with Christine Quinn, who's running for 16th congressional district in Florida in Hillsborough County. Her and Cliff Gephardt, who's the owner of Conservative Grounds, a coffee shop in Largo, Florida. We flew over to McAllen, Texas, and we spent 3 days along the U.S.-Mexican border in Texas between McAllen, Texas, and Brownsville, Texas. So each one has its own element of crisis. It's fascinating the stuff that we've seen. It's just amazing that this occurs, and people need to be awake about this crisis because it is a serious crisis down there.
I've learned over the years of doing it. I've been covering this since 2013. I've been talking about the border for a long time because it's a really sticking point with me. I like what Trump always said: no border, no country. We're a country, and you know what? If they want the country back, And I don't advocate war or violence, but you could always come and get the land the way we acquired it as the spoils of war.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want war and I don't want violence and I don't want death. I want Mexico to be our friends. But if you really want the land back that bad, let's go. Put up your dukes.
Yeah. So in Laredo, Texas, So when I first got there, like it was like the crack of dawn and, you know, I'm driving on the west side of Laredo, the Rio Grande River's there. And,
yep.
You know, Border Patrol is like right in front of me. And I witness them catching six illegals right there in front of my eyes. And I put out my video recording and I recorded the whole incident, you know, and I posted it online and stuff. And these people swam across the river. You know, they have plastic bags that they put around their waist with dry clothes and they were in their underwear and they get caught. And what was crazy was, you would think, hey, they're Mexicans or, you know, Spanish. These people were Middle Eastern. They were Middle Eastern illegals crossing over. So they're coming, you know, they clearly were Arabic. They didn't speak English. And, you know, they got caught. You know, the Border Patrol caught them. But then, you know, I witness it. I document it, whatnot. I try to ask them, why did you come over here illegally? You know, and they wouldn't answer, whatnot. But it was like right in front of my eyes. And it was just crazy. And then, you know, minutes later, the Border Patrol's zooming at another location. They're zooming around. They're zigzagging all over the place because there's no wall, no fences. It's just a river that you could literally wade right across and come over.
It's horrifying.
No wall in Laredo at all.
And you know what what other repercussions of all this is? And hey, my old friend Mark from high school is watching. How do you like that? And I got people – look, I'm 53 years old. High school's a long time ago, and this guy's watching me. What's up, Mark? Thanks for tuning in. This crisis, some of the things they say, but there's other repercussions to this crisis besides, you know, big people. They talk about super spreader events, right? They talk about the next wave. You know how they and why they know about there's a next wave? Because they're freaking importing it across the border at a breakneck pace. And then they get processed, put on a bus or a plane, and sent to not South Dakota, but like, you know, maybe Wyoming or Pennsylvania or Montana or, you know, Idaho or New Jersey, all sick, all infested. Here's a date. Come back to court when you can. Hope to see you then.
So let me touch on that. You mind if I touch on that?
So, go for it.
When I went back to the border the third time, and we went to McAllen and Brownsville, all in between. Okay, so there's chunks of wall, incomplete, not done. They stopped. As soon as Biden became president, they stopped wall construction. They just left building materials on the ground or whatnot.
Yep.
So McAllen, Texas. So let me flash back to when Trump was president. There was a program called the Migrant Protection Program, and this was – so anyone that came into the United States illegally would be stopped at the border and they wouldn't be able to come in. And if they wanted to seek asylum or whatnot, they would have to wait for a hearing. But they did not come into the United States till they get their hearing.
The stay in Mexico policy.
Yes. When Trump left office and Biden came in, he immediately signed an executive order, which allows now asylum-seeking migrants to just come over. And if they claim asylum, they can stay. They can stay. And then they get their hearing about 2 years later. 2 years later, they get a hearing. That's the average. Now, it's probably longer at this point because just in the month alone in March that we just had, March 2021, 160,000 illegals crossed
over
that border. And that's who just got caught. That's just
who
got
caught. You know what else crosses over that border? You know what else crosses over that border, folks? Now, this is really pulls at my heartstrings here because this doesn't just affect people who live on the border. This affects everybody. I'm so far from the border here in the Sunshine State that you'd think it wouldn't affect me, but it does. I have a friend. I just spoke to him recently whose son, at the age of 21, happened to fall with the wrong crowd and was addicted, and he took a pill. That was supposed to be a Percocet or something. Well, it was straight up fentanyl. He didn't have a chance, and he died, 21 years old. I know the kid since he's in diapers. This affects people across this whole country, not just down on the border states. It's everywhere. People you know, people you love are affected by this every day, and it's really sickening. 90% of all fentanyl comes across the southern border. Almost 100% of fentanyl is manufactured in China. They are using chemical warfare on our nation. But they're slick and smart, and they're getting away with this like nothing. Could you imagine if some crazy terrorist with a bag full of dusty fentanyl decided to go up on top of the Empire State Building and let it go? Like, achoo, sneeze, open his bag and let it fly through the air off the Empire.
Scary.
What would happen?
Scary thought.
And so he's allowing this to come into this country. So if something like that happens, quid pro, kid toucher, Joe, the president of the United States, the blood of death will be on your hands, like all this other blood and death is on hands of other people. And it's really disgusting.
So,
not only that,
what I see, what I see firsthand down there is this is what's going on. So there's these religious organizations, one in particular called Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande. And, you know, there's
doing some good
Baptist churches and whatnot. So they have an arrangement. They have an arrangement with the Biden administration is when these illegals come over on the border and put their hands up, they come over specifically to get caught. So the cartels and the coyotes, their job is to get them across that water, get them across the Rio Grande. Once these migrants come across, they put their hands up and get caught purposely by Border Patrol. So they're with their children. There's pregnant women. They put their hands up. Border Patrol takes them away. They take them into either Brownsville or McAllen, Texas. They take them in buses, loads of buses. They get off the buses and they unload them into these like COVID testing tents. And they go in there. If they show no symptoms of COVID, because I don't know how quick a test comes back, whatever. If they show no symptoms of COVID, they then go blocks away to this place called Catholic Charities. And they go in there and they get housed, they get fed, they get clothed for about 24 hours. The next day, then Catholic Charities marches them across the street to the public bus station, and they get on buses with bus tickets, and they get sent out to U.S. cities all across the country with the promise to return 2 years later for a court date. We know they're not coming back. If they test positive for COVID at that original testing site, then the Biden administration puts these illegals in hotels like La Quinta Inn, Best Value Inn, Best Western. We've seen multiple hotels, and they put them in there for 14 days, and the government pays for their stay at these hotels.
And the whole time
until their symptoms go away.
And illegal aliens wanted to get to these hotel rooms is stepping over homeless veterans in the street to get through the doors of the hotels, which is even sickening.
And here's what we even saw that was even more crazy, right? When they're at the hotels, local Democrat candidates come over there and give them campaign like brochures and literature, and they almost kind of like try to get them, you know, to secure a vote. It's scary. And then at Catholic Charities and Baptist churches that we saw these illegals go in there every hour, buses go in, they get brought in through the back alleys and stuff like that. We documented it. It's around the clock pipeline. And this is just one city. They do it in Brownsville. They do it in McAllen. They do it in Laredo. They do it in Eagle Pass. They do it in El Paso, Texas, just in Texas. You know, this is probably going on across the whole southern U.S. border, probably in the cities in Arizona, probably Tijuana, probably Nogales. You know, we haven't went that far, you know, to investigate this type of scheme. But what's crazy is – so what's crazy is since Biden has been office, the Department of Health and Human Services gave a no-bid contract of almost like $400 million to a nonprofit organization called Family Endeavors Org. And this company and this nonprofit is responsible for this entire operation. We're talking a $400 million no bid contract. the individual that's responsible for this program was on Biden's transition team. So there's a lot of conflicts of interest here, you know, to allow this pipeline and allow these illegals to continuously come in under the guise of asylum seeking. We've seen buses of pregnant women, like 7 or 8 months pregnant, get off these buses. And we know under the policies that if a pregnant woman that's an illegal gives birth to a child, that child on U.S. soil, that child is automatically a United States citizen. And then down the line with these chain migration programs, that child can then start inviting other family members from, you know, wherever country they are to come into this country and to become U.S. citizens.
So
this will, I'm telling you, this process right now, 1 year from now, there'll be a million illegals in just 1 year off this process, easily.
Yeah. Now, I have another guest on the line, and her family is affected in another way. And I'm going to bring her in. I'm going to let her tell her story, and then we can – and just – I'm doing this for so that people go, holy crap, this is going on? Because a lot of people have no clue. Welcome to the show, Chris Story. Welcome to the show, Chris. Sorry for it took me a little while to get on. This guy has a lot of information, and he's really breaking it down.
It's very interesting.
Your family has been deeply affected by the illegal immigration crisis, too. So why don't you explain a little bit? I know your story, but the listeners don't know your story. So before we get moving on to this, let's hear Chris Story's story about what happened. Not to be funny, but it's really horrible what's happening in this country, that the American people are just going to the beach and having barbecues and watching the game like nothing's going on. It's really, really alarming to me. So go ahead, Chris. Tell folks a little bit about your family story. And this may be shocking, folks, to some people. So if you have young kids around, if you don't want them to be shocked, I'm serious. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Mark, for having me on your show. I am actually an angel sister. My brother, Joe, was killed by an illegal alien. We are from Western North Carolina. And in 2011, October 5th, 2011, we were on vacation in Killdevil Hills, which is in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And we were on our way to dinner. We had spent a great day fishing and having a great time. And we were just on our way to dinner about 7:30. And an illegal alien from Honduras, who had previously, 2 months previously, gotten a ticket for running a red light. He was drunk and ran a red light and caused a crash that killed my brother instantly, critically injured me. I was airlifted to Norfolk, Virginia. My brother was only 51 years old. He has 3 sons who are permanently separated from their dad. The illegal alien fled from the hospital. He was transported to the local hospital. He fled from there, was apprehended in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was about 10 days later. They put him in jail, and he requested a bond reduction hearing. They charged him with felony, death by vehicle, and 2 counts serious injury. One to me and one to my sister-in-law. He requested a bond reduction, and the judge said, no way. Said, you're an illegal alien. You've already fled one time. You're a proven flight risk. So, no. His bond was $100,000. He had a public defender in that hearing. So the judge said no. About a month later, he requested another bond reduction hearing. Now, at the time of his arrest, his net worth was $0. Zero. And in the meantime, he hired his own private attorney, which a reporter who has done approximately 14 stories on this case because of all of the corruption, he said that the guy's name who killed my brother was Luis Alberto Rodriguez Castro. And he came up with about $5,000 to pay this attorney. The judge was J.C. Cole. They brought him in from a different district, and he happens to be married to an immigration attorney. Well, he reduced the bond from $100,000 to $50,000. And I knew Rodriguez would flee again. I told the assistant DA, you know, request ankle monitors because you know he's going to flee. The judge flat out said no, he wouldn't require him to wear an ankle monitor. I said, well, who will be watching him? I was told no one will be watching him. This is an illegal alien who killed a 51-year-old man and critically injured me. And this judge let him walk free. The thing is, I went down to Rodriguez's first court hearing, and I figured he would show up for that one because it was going to be continued. Well, I did spot him in the courtroom, and I followed him down the steps. He had gotten up there and acted like he couldn't speak any English and had an interpreter at both of the bond reduction hearings. And so I followed him down the steps, and I told him, I said, I know you understand every word I'm saying to you. And I said, I want you to know what kind of man you took from my family. He devastated our family. Joe was the middle child of 7 kids. He was a great father. He was a businessman, had a small construction company. And I told him, I said, I want you to know what you've done to my family. And he turned around and looked at me and said, talk to my attorney. Okay. After he acted like he couldn't speak English. And, you know, there's a lot of cost involved with this as well. The main thing is he devastated my family and took my brother. But we paid for a public defender, an interpreter. And here he came up. He ended up paying a bondsman, too. So he came up with approximately $13,000 cash so he could get away. And when I talked to him that one time, he had no remorse whatsoever, none. I mean, he looked at me and told me, talk to his attorney. And I told him, I said, I don't want to talk to your attorney. And I honestly felt like I could choke him, and I didn't know my nephew was right behind me, and he put his arms around me and said, Chris, come on, he is not worth it. So he, of course, right. fled again. He is on the ICE top 10 most wanted list now. But the thing is, with Biden's policies, if he grants amnesty to all these illegals in our country now, Rodriguez Castro will get granted amnesty because I was told that he has been charged but not convicted. Even though we all know he killed my brother, he's not been convicted. Right. I said, well, he can't be convicted because he's fled twice, you know. So it's unreal.
And so now he's on a list hiding out. And so there are many, many stories like that. We were going to have also Marianne Mendoza on, but she just sent me a text a little while ago. She's caught up and can't join, so I'm going to have to reschedule it because she just went down to the border. You've seen it on the news where some Congressman Biggs and a few others went down there and were on the border, and she was down there with them. And we were going to have her tell her experience. But her son also, an officer, was killed by a drunk driver. And I had other guests on my show over the years, Laura Irish Wilkerson, the story of what happened to her.
Yes, I know her well. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, her story is so tragic. Bobby and Kion Michael. Bobby and Kion Michael.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And many others. I mean, like I said, I've been covering this for a long, long time, and I've had so many guests on. And I believe it's so important that people get this message because, like mm-hmm. I said, I know someone who personally who is now dead because of fentanyl. Your son killed because of a drunk driver. What was his name again? Steve Ronnebeck. His son
oh, yes,
killed
Steve.
Over a pack mm-hmm. of cigarettes. killed over a pack of cigarettes, Grant.
Shot in the face.
Over a pack of cigarettes. Because he started counting it. The guy the guy's son was working behind the counter because he was in college, right? And he wanted to, you know, have some money when he went back to college. So he's working. And the guy throws a handful of change on the counter for a pack of cigarettes. All he wanted to do was count the change. Guy says, "What, you don't trust me?" And shot him in the face.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Ma'am, I would just like to say I'm sorry for your loss. Ma'am, I just want to say I'm sorry for your loss, and I pray your family gets justice. I mean,
thank you.
Anything I can do for you, you know, I have a big following, and anything I can do to, you know, bring awareness or, you know, try to find the individual responsible for this and so we can get caught and brought to justice, just let me know or let Mark know, or, you know, I'll be able to help in any way I can.
How do you spell your last name? Is it
Jonathan Riches, R-I-C-H-E-S.
Okay, that's what I put. The thing is, the mainstream media will not report our stories. I've done two interviews with, like, a local TV channel station.
If the story,
but then
Chris, if the story was the other way around, Chris.
It doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah, if the story was the other way around, like if your son was driving if your brother was driving and he killed an illegal and injured his sister and sister-in-law gravely, it would have been all over the news that this guy did this. And that's what drives me crazy.
Well, you know, one thing that drives me crazy is I've been spit at by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Well, you know, I've gone to Washington many times. I did get to meet President Trump and go to his inauguration and all that. But our groups have been spit at, called racist, and we have Hispanics in our group. We have all races. And
Bobby and Kyle Michael are African American.
Yeah.
Bobby and Kyle Michael, they live here in Florida. They come on my show. Same thing.
I've met them
before. And their kid was killed, and they're black. We have black folks, we got Spanish folks, we got Chinese folks, we got white folks. They don't discriminate who they're killing.
To California last July with a group, America First Latinos, invited me to come out there. And I'm like, you know,
here in Florida, we got a group of Vietnamese people. They come with their Vietnamese flags, and they join the rallies. It's amazing. Jonathan, I'm sure you met them.
Yes.
And
fine
lady, but when
sis,
I tell
really
people,
nice
it has to do with you're either legal or you're not legal. You're an illegal alien, and it has nothing to do with race. It's all about. And I said, if this were an American citizen that had killed my brother, and I would be just as angry and just as upset.
It's,
the only difference
like,
is he would pay.
Like,
there would be justice.
Just like Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, if they really gave a crap, if that as an organization really gave a crap, there would be nonstop rallies on every corner in Chicago forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, look at all. I agree. Yeah.
They don't care about nobody's life. Look, the ladies that founded Black Lives Matter bought gigantic mansions in freaking white neighborhoods. What?
I saw that.
For real,
hypocrite.
With the money that these turds donated to them.
Instead of paying it to help black people,
it's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, understand. I understand this guy, Colin Kaepernick, he's upset. He came up with this plan to kneel during a national anthem. That's fine. If I protest at work, if I get a little pin that says 45, Trump 45 on it, I get harassed. I can't even wear a little pin. Political pin at work. So you protest at work, you get in trouble. And I understand. God bless you live in the greatest country where you can protest, right? But here's a guy making millions of dollars on the field. Why didn't he just go, well, I grew up in this bad neighborhood. Why don't I take a million of my $20 million salary this year and just dump it into the neighborhood I grew up, $1 million. Here you go. Boom.
Yeah.
That's how you make a difference. You don't kneel during a national anthem and disrespect people that died for that flag. I'm sorry. I can't get on board with that. Not at work.
Oh, yeah.
You protest at work, you're fired. He should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Well, you know, one thing with the illegal immigration, though, too, my brother was part owner of a small construction company. a bricklaying company. And him and his business partner, they said, you know, we will not hire an illegal alien for me to make more money. And they would not hire them. And they said, for, you know, to put an American out of work. And so they were doing what they were supposed to be doing to help our country and help Americans have jobs. So they were getting underbid like crazy. So when illegal aliens were already killing my brother's business. And then he was actually killed by one. So,
are there any organizations or groups that you want to promote now that can maybe help the cause to stop this from happening, or at least make a dent or do something to try to help? Any groups or organizations you'd like to plug right now and put out over the air?
AVAC, which is Advocates for Victims of Illegal Alien Crime, and then FAIR, Federation of Americans for Immigration Reform. They're out of D.C., and AVAC is, I mean, the thing is, there's so many organizations, but like I said, the mainstream media won't report, so I really, really appreciate you letting us come on your show and speak.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many more Americans killed than people realize, and there's people left behind like me. I have PTSD. I have survivor's guilt. I've had 3 surgeries from this crash. And you know how much of that Rodriguez paid for? None.
Zero.
He came up with $13,000 cash, didn't pay anything on my brother's funeral. My nephews are left without their dad. This happened in 2011, and I still deal with PTSD every day. You know, and the guilt of me living, even though it was Rodriguez's fault, you know, I was furious after the crash. I didn't even look like a human being.
Can I ask you what your relationship is with the prosecutor? Like, is your prosecutor helpful in trying to find?
No. Oh, my gosh. I have been treated like the criminal in this case.
And that's always the case.
I have been called a vigilante. I've been called a vigilante. I was told that this case was going to be made very low priority because I'm such a pest. There's a case going on with the bondsman too. We found out all kinds of stuff. This reporter at the Outer Banks helped me a lot, but I finally got the bondsman charged with felony obstruction of justice because. What happened? We tracked Rodriguez to Tennessee. It was almost like they were helping him.
If the bondsman jumps bond, does he arrest himself?
I don't know.
Good question.
I'm not sure how that works. Well, the DA would probably bail him out, probably. The original DA, he died of a massive heart attack, but before he died, he had waived, we found out through, I wrote down every single thing, every word, every cop I talked to, every DA, assistant DA. The assistant DA, Kristen Simmons, even told me when I asked her, could we get up and speak to the judge? Because the first judge who would not reduce Rodriguez's bond wanted to hear about my injuries and about, you know, Joe, what kind of person he was. Well, I asked her, I said, will this judge let me get up and speak about Joe? And she flat out told me, the judge does not care what kind of person your brother was. All he cares about is what kind of person Rodriguez is. And excuse my language, but I said, we know what kind of person that bastard is.
Right.
And she told me that.
Have you worked with any legislatures, people in office in North Carolina to try to get some help, some remedy, some justice?
The only person I was really able to talk to, I had to hire my own attorney to find out how to get this bondsman prosecuted. Because to find out, that DA waived the $50,000. So the bondsman wasn't even looking for him because the $50,000 had been waived. And it's such a long process that happened. I mean, we'd be on the phone for a week if I tell you the whole everything that went on. But I was mm-hmm. this attorney did tell me I needed to go to the insurance commissioner in North Carolina in Raleigh. I'm like, why would I go to the insurance commissioner? Well, I didn't know that bondsmen are regulated by the insurance commission in North mm-hmm. Carolina. I don't know if that's just in North Carolina, but that I had to go through their office, and they got their criminal investigators involved, and I took them all this proof, and that's how he got charged with the felony obstruction of justice. And right now it's sitting in court waiting, you know, with COVID and all that. But then the reporter called me one day and said that the chief assistant DA in the case now, since I've already gone through several different DAs and assistant DAs, and the reporter is the one that told me that that chief assistant DA said he's going to make it a very low priority case because I'm such a pest. But and I told him I had proof of some things. And then he said, because he had sent me two really mean emails. And then the last email I got about a month ago, I'm not sure what happened in between, but he was very nice and said he would keep me up to date. Because I was calling just every little bit wanting to know when Matthew Gregory, that was the bondsman, I got it to where he had to pay the $50,000 finally. Then I said, well, I'm not ending here. He's going to get charged for obstruction of justice. So I can, and I have been a pest, but I have done everything that the cop should have been doing, that the DA's right. office should have been doing. I even told the DA, I said, you know, if you were doing your job, I wouldn't have to be doing this.
One thing I've learned over the last 8.5 years of blabbing on this show is that the politicians believe they do not work for the people. The only way they are reminded is when the people show up and say, don't forget, you work for us. Jonathan, yeah. he goes right up
like
to them.
Like we just did at the school board. Like we just did at the school board mm-hmm. meetings, which, you know, not you to jump topics, but, you know, mask mandates, you know, and the school boards throughout Florida, you know, dictating, you know, masks on children, despite the fact that Governor DeSantis in our state put an executive order, you know, null and voided all mask mandates. These school boards going rogue, some of them, and just, you know, keeping their mask policies in place, you know, and we're reminding them that, you know, we are the people.
Yeah.
And,
you have a great governor. We have a crappy one. We have Cooper, so he's not good.
Also, you know, your senator there was one of the only senators, Senator Burr. North Carolina Senator Burr was actually one of the only Republican senators that voted to impeach President Trump.
I voted against him when, I knew he was a snake. Now, Mark Meadows, that's a different story. Mark Meadows is great. Yes.
Chris, I can tell you, our state will welcome you with open arms. If you want to come down and enjoy the greatest governor in the land, come on down. We love patriots like you in our state. Folks that listen, you probably hear my accent, right? You hear I come from New York. Hey, bada bing, I came from New York. Hey, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say this, okay? I don't live like New Yorkers. I had to get the hell out of that place because them people are crazy.
I
had to get the hell out. I'm not like them people. I can't believe people keep voting for that Cuomo sexual maniac.
Yeah. Well, that's like, you know, Richard Burr's nowhere near as bad as him, but I still voted against Burr.
Jonathan.
Because, I mean, you know, he's
Met Matt Gaetz, I'm sure, right? You've met Matt Gaetz.
I have. I've seen Matt Gaetz at numerous rallies and spoken to him before. He actually put a photo of me on his Instagram as the face of New America First movement. The day Trump left office, Gaetz put my face on his Instagram, which was pretty cool.
He's got bogus bullcrap allegations against him. They went after him like piranhas. Cuomo, I've been telling people this. I said,
not a peep.
Cuomo is going to be the Democratic presidential candidate in 2024.
Cuomo literally got away with it. He got away with it.
Yeah.
He did. It's crazy. Yeah. He killed people and he He's got 10 allegations against him. Kavanaugh had some lady who had some vague memory of some party 30 years ago, and they grilled this
and
guy.
She was lying.
They had real insurrection where they broke down the doors of the Supreme Court, and Schumer sat out. I think it was Chuck Schumer sat out front hollering about, "This is, we're gonna get you, Kavanaugh." Blah 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 blah. What?
It was insane. Still.
I just think as us patriots, we have to hold the line. We have to fight back. Mm-hmm. We have to play them at their own game. That's what we're doing in Florida. You know, these Democrats that are controlling these county commissions, school boards. You know, it starts at the grassroots. It starts at home, and mm-hmm. you got to fight back. You got to fight back and use your voice and be an American.
I got time left. We could still talk for a whole nother hour, but I've been thinking about this all night, and I don't want to forget. And I'm sorry to cut you off, Chris. But,
you're fine.
We had down here in St. Petersburg, Florida, a video broke out of a couple who was sitting at a table at a sidewalk cafe, and Antifa and BLM came up and harassed them and got in their face, and it was a whole big thing. This video went viral. The next day, Jonathan and I don't know, maybe 10 or 12, it seemed like it was 12 people. It seemed like a really small crowd. They were so fed up that they went down there, and when Antifa tried to roll up on people and stop traffic, even though they were only a few people, they pushed Antifa mm-hmm. out of the traffic. They chased them from bothering people to eat. They were a small group, and they were just in their face. It was amazing. And
oh,
this
wow.
is the kind of patriotism that we need. We need people to
That's
stand
what we
in the
need.
Pit. You know,
and the governor listened. The governor DeSantis listened to that because Antifa was unchecked in the city of St. Pete with the mayor Kreisman, who was allowing, you know, these Antifa and BLM to just, you know, block traffic, harass people when they eat, blow horns in their face, you know, created this anti-riot bill stopping this, you know, and we took matters in our own hand. This is what patriotism is. You have to fight back. Even if you have a small group.
Have to do that.
The anti-riot bill goes against our First Amendment rights. No, it does not. You still have every right. You go down, you get on the sidewalk, you carry your sign and your flag, and you can chant and cheer. You can go to the parks as long as you don't disrupt other people. You have every right to make your point. Just don't get in people's faces. Don't interrupt grandma and grandpa sitting down to have a meal together after they went and saw something at the museum or something. That's wrong. Mm.
And leftist trash propaganda doesn't call an anti-riot bill. They call it an anti-protest bill. You know,
right.
No one's impeding on anyone protesting. Protesting is, you know, it's good in a sense. You know, it's American. It's a First Amendment. But, you know, they cross over into rioting. It's a big no in Florida. It's not going to happen in Florida.
In the last four years, Jonathan, how many protests have you been to?
I've been to hundreds, literally hundreds.
Now, I've been to rallies where we showed up on an overpass in Tampa. We had 100 people. When we left the overpass, it was like swept clean, like a cleaning crew came. We picked up all our trash. We picked up the trash that was there. When we got there, we picked up everything. We cleaned the place, and we left like nothing ever happened. Then you see things like when these other people show up to their rallies from the left, they're the ones that are crying about the environment. They're the ones that are saying how bad things are and, oh, my goodness. And when they leave their rallies, not only do they leave the trash that was there when they got there, it looks like 10,000 people were there and there was only 50, and it's trash and it's messed up. They leave all that garbage, and they're a bunch of hacks, double standard twits that I don't understand where they came from. How did they?
Well, remember in D.C., inauguration, that Saturday, the Me Too movement, those people were horrible, and it was nasty. It was
The Me Too movement for Cuomo.
Just vitriol and hate. They're just bad, evil, mean-spirited people. They're just always – there's always problems with these people.
Have you ever heard the name Tara Reid? Anybody ever heard that name?
I've heard that name.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden's victim.
Tara Reid. Oh, Joe Biden knows who Tara Reid is.
I knew I heard that name, but
and it was a unfounded allegation with proof. She called her mom. It was like, oh, my God, and nothing happened. And the guy's our president. It's really unbelievable what happened.
The only place I heard that name was on Fox News. I canceled my cable because I can't even watch the other news stations. I can't believe anything they say.
Watch One American News, watch One American News or something like that. They got some good ones.
Yes,
I like some of the ones that are on the internet. I like Right Side Broadcasting and a couple of these other independent journalists. They're in the crowds and they're talking to the people, and we're seeing and hearing exactly what's going on. Nothing the mainstream media will ever touch on. That's why I talk to people like Jonathan. That's why I get people that are in this. You had mentioned Ben. I had Ben on the show. I had people like Alan West on the show that speak out because it's important. When I see a story on, I'll hear somebody on, that's how I got Steve Ronnebeck on the show the first time. He was on Sean Hannity. I was driving home. I'm like, I'm going to look for that guy on the internet. And I found him and I reached out to him and he came on the show.
And that's what it really is.
Angel families. People got to know about this. So I started bringing angel families on because it's just unbelievable. When you go out into the world and you start talking, people are like, what? Where's that happening? Oh, that's down in McAllen, Texas. Really? No, I didn't hear nothing about that.
We've been told our stories are manufactured.
All I heard is that Trump's a racist and he's putting kids in cages. I had no idea this was happening down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. They're so lied to and they believe it. It's unreal.
Can you imagine going through what our families have gone through and then somebody look at you and say, that's a manufactured story. That is not true. Now, who would make up a story like that and go around trying to tell people about it so they would know? That to me, that's so disrespectful to the angel families to be told we made this up.
Angel families.
I believe in faith, and I believe you will get justice. You will get justice down the line. Be patient and keep, trying to advocate for justice, and it will happen. It will happen. And I will pray for you, and anything I can do for you, I will be more than happy to help.
Well, thank you so much.
Like I was saying, angel families will always have a place here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I think it's an important place. With that, I got to wrap up. Jonathan, if you have anything you want to promote real fast, promote something.
Sure. Patriots in Florida and this particular Florida listeners, come out to your school board meetings, come out to your county commissioner meetings, speak up, use your voice. You can utilize the sunshine law request, file sunshine law requests, getting answers. You could also, if you're not happy with your elected officials, obviously you can vote them out. You also can recall them, get petitions. It's time for the Patriots to unite and come out and fight back against this tyranny. And let's make America great again, or save America, too. There you go.
Take America back.
Take America back. I love that, too. That's a great slogan.
That's a great phrase.
Well, we have a group on Facebook we created about 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago now. It's called the Take Back America Challenge. Search that out on Facebook. Make a video. Join the party. The Take Back America Challenge on Facebook. Guys, ma'am, sir, I got to wrap this up. It's time to go. I want to thank you guys so much for your time. Again, Chris, you always have a place here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Jonathan, anytime you want, if you have anything you want to just shoot me a message. Say, hey, can I call the show? I'll press 1, and then you can come on.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. I had a great time, and thank you for having me on. And God bless you, ma'am, and I hope you get justice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your activism. It's important. Thank you, Chris, for coming on, and we'll pray for your family. God bless, and I hope you receive the justice your family deserves.
Thank you, Mark. And
yes, ma'am.
Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
You too. All right, folks, that brings me to this part of the show. It's the end. I want to thank everybody for joining the show tonight. It was real. It was raw. It was the truth, the way only Patriot Nation Radio can bring the truth. And with that, please rise. This is the Star Spangled Banner, as performed by my friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition. This song is on it. This will probably have a commercial before it always has a commercial. Uh-oh.
New patients get a complete exam and x-rays free without insurance. Start today. Book online at...
All right, folks, you had to join us next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I think I got a show. I'll let you know. Thanks so much for tuning in. Without you, there is no show. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Signing off. Good night. God bless America. God bless you. Trump 2024.